to 1 Thessalonians 2. I went to meet with the nursing home that we used to go to before COVID today, and they want us to come back the last Sunday of September, and I was very encouraged because I met Erin. Some of you will know who Erin is, one of the workers there. Well, now she's the director of events there, and she knew my name. She gave me a great big hug, and she said how much she's looking forward to everybody coming back. She asked how Miss Carolyn was doing. So I said we're going to have to get Miss Carolyn out to at least to one of those to so that she can see her, and Tracy, of course. So there is a lot of workers that remembered us, so we did make a difference. And we'll be, after that September, I'm going to call the man in charge again and try to get to go to Tuesday night Bible study, see what we can do there. So if you can make it after the potluck, it's at 2:45. It's right there on, most of you know where it is. It's right there on Wonderland Road. Not Wonderland, excuse me, Southdale, off of Wonderland Road. And Miss Connie's going to be coming with us, playing the piano for us. So she's excited about that. So we're looking forward to it. If you want to come and sing, we'll sing a bunch of songs and make a difference where we can. So this is an opportunity for people to serve the Lord if they like to. So come on. Everybody's invited, okay? And there's no stipulations. You don't have to wear a mask or anything else. Just come on. All right? And I'll just pick one of you randomly to give a 15-minute. No, I'm joking. We'll take care of the sermons. Don't have to preach. We'll take care of that. But get you guys out there to do some service. And don't forget, if you would like to meet me at 4:30 on Saturday, I got all mixed up this Saturday. If you came to the church, I'm sorry, I was in the middle of something, but I'm going to make sure I'm here at 4:30 every Saturday to pass out flyers. If you don't want to come into the church and you'd like flyers to pass out in your area to invite people out to church, just let me know and we'll make sure you get flyers. All right? So let's all do what we can for the Lord. If you're older, you say, what can I do? Well, you can spend that sweet hour of prayer with the Lord while we're doing it. That would be very helpful, that God would bless our works to his honor and his glory. Final thing before we get into the message, I've been thinking, and I'll remind us of this. Pastor Unger, while he was preaching, was saying these are the last days, and I agree 100% with him, and how the world is given over to lies and to deception, but we in the church have the truth and the life, so let's pray that we individually have revival within our hearts and that our church has revival. Let's pray that the presence of the Spirit of the Lord will be so real to us that it will drown out everything else around us. Now that has to happen to me, okay? I'm praying that that happens to me, and then it overflows to everyone, all right? So that's how we should honest and earnestly be. And I'm not trying to get Pentecostal. I'm not going to speak in tongues, okay? Unless it's a language I know, and the only one I know is English. That I know, that's funny. You guys can all laugh. It's debatable whether I know English or not. But I think I know English, so look. The presence of God, he's made us the way we are with a mind, will, and emotions. How many would like to, how do I put this without scaring you? How many long to know that God is near, right? To know and feel the presence of God. There's nothing wrong with that. A Christian should desire that. And I want to know that God is near. You know what that means? I got to put the phone away. I got to put the noise away. I've got to put the stress away by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that God can be near. Sometimes we sing these hymns and I haven't experienced that blessed garden very much in my life. I'd like to experience it, right? Wouldn't you like to experience the blessed garden that we're talking about so it's more than just words? I'd like to know this sweet hour of prayer. Not sweet 5 minutes, not sweet 30 seconds, but sweet hour. That means we talk, we listen, we're silent sometimes. There's conversation through the Holy Spirit working through His Word and giving us inclinations within our minds that are directed by His Word, okay? I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit will speak to you in an audible voice. He'll give you something much more powerful than that. He'll give you a peace that passes all understanding. I know I'm rambling, but it's in my heart right now. You know when God puts the rich man in the Hades and he says, hey, go send Lazarus to talk to my brothers. And what he said, they have the prophets. What does that mean? Even if one comes from the dead, they will not believe. So that means that the Bible should speak louder than somebody resurrecting from the dead in cases. Some vision that you see. You know what should speak louder than that? The Word of God. So, when we're studying this, we looked at verses 1 through 2. We see boldness in spite of suffering. So this is looking at the present actions of a Christian in light of Christ's coming, okay? And we've been going through boldness in spite of suffering. In verses 3 through 6, we preach the pure Word of God. In verses 7 through 12, we see the loving the people of God as a caring mother, as a active servant, and as a loving leader, a loving father. In verses 13 through 16, we see receiving the Word as from God. John Walvoord says this about preaching. Two aspects to every sermon are the delivery and the hearing. The preacher or teacher has a responsibility to accurately deliver the message in a way that is relevant and interesting. Sorry, not all the time. We're trying. But the congregation has an equal responsibility to joyfully listen, receiving, and applying the truth. I have a work, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will make me interesting, will make it real to your life, but that's not something that I'm going to do in my own power. We have to trust in the Holy Spirit working through the message, working through the Word of God to speak to your hearts. I have to do the study. I have to do the thinking. I have to do the meditating. Meditating as an active mind, not an empty mind. Everybody understand the difference? I'm not talking about worldly meditation where you empty your mind. Our meditation is actively thinking about the Word of God and asking the Holy Spirit to apply the truths of the Word of God to our mind. We don't empty our minds. Why? Because if we empty our minds, somebody's going to fill it. And it's usually not a good spirit that fills it. We don't become open-minded. One preacher put it like this. Some people become so open-minded that all their brains fall out. And we don't want to do that while we're studying and researching the Word of God. We want to be active in the mind, meditating on God's Word, so that God can apply it to our life and we have something applied to our life that we can preach to the people of God. Right? So receiving the Word as from God. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 16. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, and you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye brethren, let me go back to, for ye brethren became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. All right, so I see a twofold way that they receive the Word of God. First, they receive the Word of God. And secondly, they receive the Word of God to the point where they followed the Word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, Be with me tonight as I preach your word. May your Holy Spirit be active in our midst tonight. May you reprove, may you rebuke, may you exhort where you see fit by the power of the Spirit. May the presence of our Lord be evident in our midst tonight as we praise you, as we lift up your name, and as we preach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. They received the word. For this cause also we also thank we God without ceasing. We thank God that there are people that we can preach the word of God to that receive God's word. God is the one that prepares the heart. God is the one that prepares the mind to receive his word. Notice the characteristics of the receiving. They received what they heard of us. Sometimes in life, we don't want to receive what we hear. How many have ever been there? Go to the doctor. Doctor says you need to lose some weight for your health. We don't like receiving that, especially when it's from an overweight doctor. Well, we still should receive it, right? You say. So, what is our first response when we hear things that we don't want to receive? Words that are hard. Well, the first thing for us to do is to tear apart the messenger. Correct? If we don't want to receive it, we look at all the ways that, well, I mean, pastor said to do this because it's from the Word of God. Do you know that I have to tell myself I'm not doing what the Word of God tells me to do sometimes and I have to repent? We're a bunch of people that have to repent when we don't do what the Word of God says for us to do. Are we a receiving people of the Word of God? When we are addressed, is the first thing we do is look for excuses why we don't need to heed what the Word of God is saying. Make excuses. Say, we don't have to listen. What I love about this is God made sure that his message was preached so people could hear his message. Isn't it a blessing? I know we're losing our freedoms, but isn't it a blessing that I don't have to fear as I preach the word of God in Canada right now? Now, there's some things I have to trust the Lord in, okay? But there's other things that I can preach the gospel right now to someone without fear of going to jail, from at least from our pulpit, right? We have freedom. Should we not be thanking the Lord that we can preach so people can receive the word of God? That is a blessing that God has given us. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Keep your fingers in 2 Thessalonians and move over a couple books to 2 Peter. Sometimes we fear to give the word of God, and this is why. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye might be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So when I speak the word of God, I'm speaking what the prophets spoke by the direct inspiration of the Spirit, because we know from the first epistle that Peter wrote that the words didn't come from the traditions of men, but they came from the Spirit of God, right? And we understand that they're pure, perfect words. Knowing this first, so as we go out, we need to understand something. There shall come in the last days scoffer walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promises of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Right? Isn't that how the world works today? Oh, what? You Bible believers, let me mock you. You don't make any difference. But we come together as a group of people ready to receive the word of God. Don't be like the scoffers of the last day, that when you hear hard messages from the Word of God, you begin to mock the Word of God. Don't be like those scoffers of the last day that won't receive the Word of God as it truly is, the Word given by our eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present and present ever God that sees what we do and will judge us accordingly. You know, it does matter how we live this life. It does matter what we do. And so many times people want to say that positionally I'm saved, but that should not affect my practice. It should affect your practice. You should be different. When you receive the Word of God, you are listening to a direction of an all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present God that wants to direct you in the choices of your life. And He so intimately wants to help you know how to live your life that He's written His very Word to help you accomplish His will, because He knows that's what's best for you, and also that is what will bring Him glory. Don't we want to glorify God when He saved us? Don't we want to praise Him when He's given us ones who were dead, ones who were given over to the prince and the power of the air because we were children of disobedience and we lived according to our lust and our way? Aren't you glad that God saved you and changed you and made you into a new creature? Aren't you glad to hear the very words of God? Now, we see this is very important. The last two verses of the passage from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, introduce us to the second point from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13. Not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. How do you receive the message of God? Not as the words of men. The Christians at Thessalonica didn't just hear Paul's preaching and think to themselves, that's Paul's opinion. They didn't say that this was words made up by some man-made tradition. They weren't saying mantras made up by some pope or some priest. They weren't saying over and over some mystical sayings that would work them up into a frenzy. They weren't singing 7-11 songs, seven phrases repeated 11 times, okay? Or for us fundamental Baptists, seven words repeated three times over and over and over again. He wasn't whipping. We can look at this from 1 Corinthians, right? I've gone through 1 Corinthians, and what we noticed is Paul wasn't a man that was eloquent in speech. But he was powerful in giving through the power of the Holy Spirit the very words of God to a people that desperately needed it. And you desperately need the words of God. You don't need my words. You could find a lot fancier speakers on the internet and YouTube and whatever else you can look at than me to speak. But you do need to hear a man that is called by God through the power of God and His Holy Spirit preach, thus saith the Lord. You need to hear that as a Christian. You don't need me to tell you all the philosophical reasons of how to apply this mystical book to your life. You don't need me to say, you know, the truer picture of Revelation is really talking about, and let me give you all these signs in the book of Revelation that point to it was really Nero, and it's already been completed. No, I'm looking forward to hearing some good preaching that we can say, this means what it says it means, because it was given to us by God. And we can apply it as fact because God has said it. So, what did they do? They didn't receive Paul's preaching as coming from man. Secondly, they received it in its reality. The reality of the words that Paul had given was they were the word of God. And what did it do? They effectually worked in all that believe. So understand the character of the message as it is in truth, as it is in reality, as it is factually. It is the word of God. And understand this, if you're saved and I preach the word of God, it will have a work in you. If I'm preaching the word of God and it's not working in you, do you believe? Now, I'm not trying to pump myself up. I understand that sometimes I can get in the flesh behind this pulpit. But when we preach the word of God, it should work. I shouldn't hype it up with a bunch of stories. It shouldn't be important that my delivery is perfect. What should be important is that if anyone, and I hope there's more men that give themselves over to the study of the Word of God and share from this pulpit as we work together as a unit. I hope it's just not me preaching in the future from this pulpit. I hope there's men of this church that if God leads them, say, hey, I want to share with you what God has said through His Word to me. Through His Word, through His Spirit working. If that happens and we're saved, it should be working, should it not? It's the Word of God. It has an effective work in the Christian's life. So when I read the Bible and you say, all you do is read the Scriptures and all you do is explain the Scriptures, you don't give any good stories and you don't tell any funny jokes and you don't make it applicable to my life right now and it's an old book and it doesn't make sense to us today. No, if you're a believer, this book is written for all saints of all times to apply to their life and to let it do its work in their life. Is the Word of God doing its great work in you? Well, sometimes the Word of God is like a hammer, is it not? And it beats you. And sometimes the Word of God is like a soothing medicine that soothes you. And sometimes the Word of God is like honey, so sweet. And sometimes the Word of God is bitter because it is addressing bitter things and hard truths. But my friends, no matter how the Word of God comes to you, whether it's that sweet balm of Gilead, or whether it's that crushing hammer of bitter herbs, God can speak through it. And God can change you. Second, 1 Thessalonians 2:14 through 16. For ye, brethren, became followers of the church of God. So how did this work? So it said it would be an effectual work in them, right? So how does the word of God work? Which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, for ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. So what will happen is if you read the word of God and it'll have its affectional work, you can pray victory over every circumstance. Amen. You're gonna have some suffering is what I'm trying to say. And God can have victory through the suffering. You're right, sister. The point was, you're not always going to get what you want because you're not God. That's what I'm trying to say. But God can still have the victory and glory even through your suffering. So He does, sister, He does get the victory. But what I'm saying is people use the Bible and they have this thought that hey, if they read the word of God, its effectually work will bring forth all their greatest dreams. The effectually work of the word of God worked in these Thessalonican Christians so much that they had to tell somebody about Jesus. And guess what happened? They were rejected, just like the Lord was rejected. And they were mocked, just like the Lord was mocked. And they were persecuted, just like their Lord was persecuted. You say, if I stand for my faith in this world, I won't be able to go up the chain of command. I won't be able to get higher and higher in my career. Well, God will come and He'll get glory and He'll take care of you. He doesn't let His children beg for bread. He is there for you and He'll take care of you. You give 100%, but when people say to you, hey, you got to do something against the word of God, you stand up and you proclaim the word of God because you've received the word of God. You just didn't hear the word of God as man's opinions. Isn't it interesting when we take the word of God as man's opinions, when it's easy, we're hard as granite about our standards and how we're gonna do things. But when persecution comes, that all crumbles away. Oh, I didn't really believe that. I can change that opinion like that. Well, you didn't receive the word of God as it was in its true nature, the word of God. You received it as just a tradition of men. And maybe there are some traditions that I spew out, and God forgive me for that. But you know something is real when pressure is applied. You know how strong is something is when you know, it was very interesting. Because do you know these machines that can make plastic things? You ever heard of these machines that can print out plastic guns and print out plastic tools? Well, what's very interesting is I saw somebody that bought that and they made a plastic wrench. And it was so nice. It looked just like a wrench. But as soon as they tried to put some torque on that wrench, guess what happened? It stripped it right out and it broke in half. But he put that good tool, that hard metal, that good wrench on there, and it cranked. Isn't that interesting? When pressure comes, we'll see if you accept things as the word of men or the word of God. Why am I preaching so hard? Because this is what the walk of God does in a Christian's life. So we hear on Sunday in the second message, we need to get serious about our walk with God. Why? Because if we get serious about the walk of God, we understand the true nature of the walk of God. So when pressure is applied, we stand in the middle of suffering. We stand in the middle of trial. But if it's just the words of man, who cares about Pastor Unger isn't paying my bills to feed my family, right? But God is. Or Pastor James, look at his goofy self. What does he know? But if it's the words of God, it's something totally different, correct? Guys, what is happening? When the word of God has its effectual work in our lives, we become followers of the churches of God. We become imitators of God's bride, the church. Doesn't mean that we sit around and say, oh, the church is what makes the rules. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there's some protection in being part of a local church that preaches the word of God that says, thus saith the Lord. We become imitators of what we hear when we know that it's from God and not from man. Shame on me. I've heard some really good preaching over my life. I've listened to some really good preaching. I haven't imitated it like I should. Because sometimes I say amen with my mouth, but in my heart I'm saying, that's his opinion. When it's really, now again, some preachers can give opinion, and you need to check the word of God to figure out if this is what the word of God says or if this is what the word of James says. Not James in the Bible, Pastor James says. It's a difference, okay? But please, if you're convinced by the Holy Spirit that I'm preaching the truth of the Word of God, and it's hard truth, and it will cause some suffering in your life, you need to understand that God's there for you. And He's protector of His church. The gates of hell will not prevail against His church, His bride, you, His people. You are protected in His blood, and you're empowered by His Spirit. And you are raised from the dead to walk in newness of life. Are you receiving that word? Or do you think that you have some leeway? You know what's hard sometimes? We expect the world to persecute us, don't we? But it's when it's our own countrymen. You know, when it's pastors that are popular in this world and they are coming out and they're mocking our beliefs. They're saying, oh, those crazy people. that believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, you know that's not really what John 14 was saying. Or, you know, the point of Jesus feeding the 5,000 isn't really the miracle. You know, they just all had their own bread and fish and they all just pulled it out. It was just forgotten to be written in the text. Well, you're supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed to be preaching the Christian. And then the Christians that they put up, oh, he's Christian. He looks like the world. He talks like the world. He swears like the world. He does everything the world does. And then we have to make, oh, but we can't question whether he's saved or not, or we become judgment givers. No, that person might be saved, but don't platform them. Do you want us as a church to imitate worldliness? Could you imagine if you came to a church and I had a rock band behind me? And I had long-haired drummers beating on the drums. And we got up and we sang for, an hour and a half. Oh, the Spirit of God was everywhere in that. No, that's the spirit of the devil. And so they all imitate that. You know, the Spirit of God is me dancing around and flailing all over the place. Let's go do that. Guys, we're trying to say, hey, we want you to imitate what we're teaching. We want you to imitate what we're doing in front of you. We want you to... This wasn't really part of the sermon, but it's coming right now. Sorry. I don't want you to imitate foolishness and me get up and say, the Spirit of God is moving. I can act like the world. I can dress like the world. I can be like the world, but the Spirit of God is moving. Since I gave up my outward standards, I've never been closer to God. Well, you look just like the world. You act just like the world. You talk just like the world. Is that what you want to imitate that? The world? The desires of the world? Please, don't listen to that false gospel. I don't want you to imitate anger either. I don't want you to imitate grumpiness. Okay? I don't want to be the preacher that's like, get off my lawn. I want you to imitate love and patience and kindness and gentleness and meekness and faith and temperance. Fruits of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. But I also don't want you to do... Oh my goodness. I got highlighter all over myself. What in the world? So, I also don't want you to imitate putting highlighter all over yourself. That would not be wise. I hope you're seeing my heart. This is so important. We're to be examples to the believer on how to live life. And, okay, enough of that. Remember, others have gone through persecution before you. Right? I'm the only one that got laughed at. It's not fun to get laughed at, is it? It's not fun to pour yourself into somebody, show them love, and just want what's best and do something that angers them. That is a lot. If you want to know where most of my stress comes from, it's anytime I have to do any type of confrontation with someone. I agonize over that. And I think Paul agonized over the confrontation he had to do to the Corinthian church, right? To the point where he couldn't sleep, he couldn't think, he couldn't prepare messages until he knew what? How did they receive that message? How did they receive that message? Were they offended to the point where they gave up? Or were they hurt? But the balm of Gilead came in, right? There's people that died for the faith. There's people that were put on a rack and their joints were torn apart. There was people that were burned at the stake. There was people that were boiled in oil. There was people that were filleted alive. There was people that were hung on the cross upside down. There was martyrs throughout all the generations. Why? Because the Word of God was received as the word of God and not the word of man, and it had its great work in their life. It wasn't because they were stronger than us. It was because God's work was stronger in them. And God's grace brought them through. Others have gone through persecution. Others were forbidden to speak the gospel of God. Others was rejected by their own company. Why? So the full wrath of God could fall on the Israelites. That's what we see. Now there's a long explanation of what verse 16 means. Verse 16 says, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. The wicked Judaizers that refused to allow the good news of the death and resurrection of their Messiah to be shared were literally filling up the cup of God's wrath upon themselves. John Walvoord explains to us the statement of God's wrath to us. There are several views on Paul's statement about the Jews that God's wrath has come upon them at last. Some take this to refer to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in AD 70 that was looming on the near horizon. But this wouldn't directly affect Jews in Thessalonica who had persecuted Paul. Acts 17:5 through 9 tells you about that. Others take it to refer to the wrath of the future tribulation or the eternal wrath of hell, since there is so much in the Thessalonian letter about the coming wrath. However, the text says that this wrath has already come upon them. In the Greek, the verb has come upon is in the aorist tense. Those who take this as a future tribulation or eternal wrath of hell, note that this is stated in the past tense because it is so certain to occur. It can be stated as if it has already begun. While this view is possible, the best view is that this refers to God's wrath in the form of spiritual blindness and hardness of heart that had come upon the majority of the Jews because of their unbelief. The wrath of God causes people to reject God, to blind their hearts, to bind them to Satan, and to therefore curse them to eternal punishment and judgment. They refuse God. God just let his justice reign. And what is happening to these Jews? They've been given so many signs that Jesus Christ was the true Messiah. And what have they done with them? They've rejected. Not only have they rejected, they've actively attacked those that want to share the true gospel. Can I say that is, we stand by the Jews. We heard that Sunday. But can I say that is the Jews today? They actively hate the Messiah. And God's wrath is being poured out on them. Now we support them. And they have every right to defend themselves in the nation that's like it's a promise. You can say that promise doesn't extend to us. I believe it does. So we should never, I would never be behind attacking Israel. But what I am saying is, Christian, they hate you. They've rejected their Messiah. And God's wrath is on them. Now, God will recover them. Zacharias tells us that he'll recover a third and two-thirds will be cut off during the great tribulation. And amen for that day. Because when that day of recovery happens, guess who's going to be with Jesus when he recovers them? Hello? I'm going to be with them. I'm going to be part of that great army following that great white horse and the sword coming from that great Savior out of the mouth to destroy the wicked enemies of Jerusalem. I'm going to be with them that day. What about you? But for now, we're going to suffer if we're truly standing for Christ. I don't have the personality to go and look for problems. That is not me, okay? So if you want me to get out in the middle of the street and wear signs and preach on a blowhorn at people, you hired the wrong pastor. But I'm going to stand for what I believe in, and I'm not going to apologize for it for anything, because God's word has made a difference in our lives as Christians. And you should stand up for what you believe too. So, in closing, has God done his effectual work in your life? Are you receiving the word from the word of God as the word of God, or just the opinions of man? Oh, that's just man's opinions. You know, just everybody's on the same road. They just take different paths, but it all leads to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. And that's not what I'm going to preach. Go by your feelings. Follow your heart. Well, the Bible says your heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? The word of God can know it. It discerns it. It cuts it apart like a two-edged sword. It pierces it asunder. The word of God shows you the difference between flesh acts and spiritual acts. Christian, are you reading the word of God? If you think that this is truly the word of God, shouldn't you be in it every day? If you say you love God and you received his love letter to you of who he is, shouldn't... Now, this isn't just like empty words, you know. God isn't like please don't take this as sacrilegious. God isn't just writing empty words to us. He means what he says. The Bible isn't a stagnant water. It's a rushing river. And it makes a difference. Are you in it? I'm too busy. If you're too busy to be in the Word of God, you should be too busy to eat, sleep, watch TikTok, post on Instagram, do all that stuff we do. We somehow find time for, but we don't find time to read this every day. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. God, your word is so powerful, and we access so little. Shame on us, God. God, we're so given over to the flesh at times. We, not they, we, including me. God, let's not be given over to the flesh. Let's be given over to the direction of the Spirit so that we can see an effectual work done in these last days. And yes, I believe these are the last days. There are scoffers all over scoffing the foundations of your creation. They're mocking your precepts. They're mocking your rules. They're calling good evil and evil good. God, truly this must be the last days where men get up and scoff you publicly and are applauded for it. Surely this must be the last days as your holy nation Israel is being attacked and the world seems to be against them. Surely this is the last days as we see our world leaders given over to a one world agenda with a one currency and a one direction and murder and killing and famine. But God, in these last days, your word can still have an effectual work in our life. A work that will help us stand in any persecution and any suffering. God, make us strong. Help us to give up the things of this world so that we can draw closer to you. And you will receive all the honor, glory, and praise from it. In Jesus' name, amen.